Hi, I'm Izzy, host of the STEM Untapped podcast. This week, we're interviewing Innes Cruz, a veterinary surgeon who specialises in farm animals.
I'm Lily. I'm currently studying our GCSEs. We decided to choose you as our role model because we both have an interest in like maybe more like the animal and human side of biology, and this was like the closest one to our interests.
So I also enjoy biology. So I don't actually live on a farm, but I spend time with people that do work on farms and stuff. So I enjoy the animal side of science. And I just think that the possibility of being a vet would be really interesting. So we wanted to find out more, really.
So my name is Innes Cruz. I'm a farm veterinary surgeon at Tyndall Vets in South Gloucestershire. And I've been here now almost 3 years. Pretty much my day-to-day basis is to treat anything from a sheep to a cow to an alpaca, sometimes to, you know, your backyard pet chicken or your pet pig. So we have a good mixture of anything farm and even pet as well now, related to our day-to-day work, really. So it's quite broad.
When did your love for animals first begin?
I get asked that question a lot of times. So we have a lot of students coming, which are in uni, and sometimes not in uni, just to use some stuff from work placement. Then they come over and we take them out on farm and everything. And they all ask me that. And in my case, I can say that it was always there. I think ever since I remember being a person, I always said I wanted to be an animal doctor. So because I was so young, I couldn't pronounce the word veterinary or veterinarian or whatever for that matter. And I always wanted to be a vet. So, and I was born and raised in the town, in the city. And even to my mother, it's still a mystery till this day. How did my obsession for cows and sheep come about? When she would understand cats and dogs, maybe because we, you know, a lot of my friends had cats and dogs. I never had a pet growing up. So that was another, there's another mystery for my mom, for example. But it was always been there. So I always knew I wanted to do something with animals. And I always wanted to, you know, I knew it was something to do with treatment and being around them. And then, yeah, I pretty much kind of focused my life to go over towards that goal, really.
Do you feel that way, girls? Do you feel like you know what you want to do?
We have like an idea, but not like 100% sure. But
yeah, it's kind of like, I know that I want to be involved in probably animals or sport, but it's what sort of, when you specify what sort of route we go down.
Obviously, if you want to work with animals, you know, there's not just veterinary. It's so broad at this time. I think even if I wasn't a veterinary, I'd probably want to be a farmer myself. I think sometimes like that. So, or, you know, just work at a park. Anything like that, you know, you got some from conservation to, you know, helping out on farm to being a vet, to being a vet nurse as well. It's so broad. And even within the veterinary profession, you know, not all of us are clinicians. So we also do food inspection. We work also with the government. So not all of us are full-time clinicians. Obviously, the vast majority of us are. But even within the profession, there's loads of things you can do with animals. I was lucky I managed to go into the uni to become a vet. But I think if I hadn't made it, I would certainly, I think, be working with animals, but just some other way, maybe just helping out on the farm or some, you know, conservation work, anything like that.
Did you meet your husband through veterinary, and does he, would you say that he earns more of you due to the gender pay gap, or would you say it's pretty equal?
So I met my husband at uni. He's also a vet. He's a small animal vet. I know he does make more money than me, but that's not to do so much with the fact that he's a man and I'm a woman. It's mainly to do because there's more, the pay and the hours and everything in small animals is different than in farm animals. So I can even say, you know, when I compare our work-life balance, I have much better work-life balance than he has. And normally in veterinary, you see that a lot of the pay is more due to experience more than anything else. So, for example, I know all of his colleagues at his level, they all earn the same because they all pretty much do the same. Even here, and it all just depends again. And in my workplace, for example, it just depends on how many years of experience you have. And that's pretty much it. in farm vetting, you know, you do have to acknowledge we do need a bit more physical strength sometimes, you know, especially when you're dealing with cows and you're catching cows and you're doing certain procedures and surgeries that, you know, you do require a bit more muscle. But to be honest, in our practice, we all do the same. Even if something is a bit more physically challenged, I might take a bit longer than my male colleague, but we all get it done mainly in the end. So we don't really see in our profession that gender pay gap and balance there.
That's great to hear, because that can be unusual in STEM fields.
It's more due to experience than anything else, and how many years of practice and obviously that you have, really.
Lily and Jess, were you expecting to hear that?
Yeah, I was thinking that the gender pay gap, especially if it takes longer to do certain call-outs, mm-hmm. because of being a woman or whatever, I think that's great. Yeah. Still paid the same.
I say it takes longer, but it might just take us, you know, when I say longer, probably 10, 15 minutes, and it's, you know, absolutely fine. And farmers are okay with that, really. There's no, we never, at least up till now, to my experience, and even speaking to colleagues and all within the same profession, we, fortunately enough, we don't feel that.
Is your job specific hours? Like, do you have to do night call outs or more hours during lambing season? And does this affect your social life?
Yes, we do our own out of hours. I normally have a set day in the week that I'm on call on weekdays, and normally we have a rotation of weekends. So we do a weekend on call, like we said, one in every four. And that's all obviously included in the salary package, for example. So it always comprehends that. A normal day, for example, I work 4.5 days a week, so we normally have a half day. Today is normally my half day. That's why I managed to get away so I could speak to you guys. So. So a normal day that I'm not on call, I get to work 8:30 and normally I can leave at 5:30. We normally stay behind, help each other. We have a good team here and we're very lucky with that. So even if we have to stay behind a bit longer to help someone else, it's absolutely fine. We don't mind it. But that's normally how it works. So I don't really take work home, so to speak. I'm lucky in that thing. We don't have to do a lot of reports. Sometimes we do, but vast majority of times they're quite set. And we can do it during our work hours. So we don't have to take anything home. On Tuesdays, I'm on call. And that means that, so I start the day at 8:30 and then just stay on call. That doesn't mean I'm out all the time. It just means I get to go home at 6 o'clock. And then if the phone rings, I go out. If it doesn't, all the better, I can say, and especially now in the winter. But like you mentioned, at lambing season, that phone will probably most likely ring on a Tuesday night.
When you were training at university to become a vet, did that mm-hmm. cover like all of the animals, and then did you specialize in farm animals, or was it you went into farm veterinary?
The way that you know, the veterinary course was structured years ago, so we basically, our basic knowledge, and I say basic but it's not that basic, is at least it's 8 domesticated species. So we start with the domesticated species because those are the ones that we normally provide care for. So, and maybe we start learning. So when you first hear your anatomy or your domesticated species are poultry, pigs, sheep and goat, a horse, cow, cat and dog. So at least, so I think I'm missing one. I think it's been 8. I'm probably missing one, but anyway. So these are the domesticated species that we learn. So we learn about all the anatomy of all these species, all the difference in the anatomy, and all the difference. You know, some you can use some types of treatment and drugs on one. You can't do it on the other. But if you want to then specialize, say, in reptiles, for example, because you love snakes and you want to work with that, reptiles and lizards and everything like that, there might be some site subjects you can pick, those optional subjects you can have as an extra for the curriculum throughout the year, but you only cover the very basis. I'll take the example of alpacas. I think alpacas, we never mention it in uni, either here or back home in Portugal. Here now we start seeing a bit more because the number and the population of alpacas and people with alpacas is rising. So basically, I think they're starting to find their way more into the program, or so to speak. But yeah, when I got out of uni, I didn't know anything about alpacas. So it was actually through further learning, CPDs and everything that I started learning more about them. And I think that's what's going to happen. You know, we call exotic species. So we can divide them as domesticated species and exotic and wild species. And we basically focus on the domesticated ones because those are the most common ones. And then if you want to learn more about anything more exotic, so to speak, it's normally after uni with some post-graduations, some, you know, other courses that you can do to get that knowledge.
So what's your favorite thing about your job?
So my favorite thing, I don't know, I think is seeing something that's ill and then ringing the next day and saying that's doing better, or reading by the end of that week and saying, oh, she's doing better. It's like it's fixing them, really, making them feel better. Because, you know, if you do that, I have a happy cow and have a happy farmer and everybody's happy. So that's what I like more about that. Like, I get more satisfaction from that than anything else. And to help the animals, really, it's kind of, I think they don't talk. So I think that's the thing people, and people think like, oh, but you're a vet, you know. Like, yes, to a certain degree, we've got the basics there, but sometimes we need a bit more. Sometimes not all the symptoms are exactly what the textbook says. And that can be the most challenging one. I think I'm already answering your second question there. I think it's the challenge is when you see something that you look at it yourself and you know it's not 100% right, but you can't just pinpoint what it is. And that is a challenge, really. And again, like I say, they don't talk, so they can't say, oh, it's my tummy or it's this or it's that. And then what happens is you start a treatment. There might be like a broad spectrum treatment. And then 2 days later, a colleague goes out and it actually now it's textbook something. How did you miss that? Like, well, I didn't. Maybe I just saw it at the very beginning and it wasn't just presenting like the books say. It's like, I think at the beginning it's quite frustrating, that bit. It's when you think everything's going to be, you know, perfect and textbook-like, and then it's not. But my main thing is, yeah, it's going out, speaking to the farmer, working with them, and fixing something that's ill or in pain and making it better. Doesn't matter what animal.
And Innes, can you recommend any resources like TV shows or social media accounts or books or magazines that students who are interested in getting into what you do could have a look at to find out more information?
Yeah, absolutely. There might be some technical words there, but they're easy enough to understand, you know, with Google these days. But AHDB is a platform that's directly linked to agriculture. And any part of agriculture, really. And you can find loads of stuff there about beef, dairy, sheep, and anything from like disease to prevention to feed, nutrition, that is. They are a good platform for that. And it's something that I normally recommend to some of the farmers to have, you know, a bit of a read through in any particular thing they might want to learn a bit more about. They do a lot of research. We work alongside with them as well, regarding data and anything, really. It's a really good site. There are things, more technical things, for like worms, which are scops and cows. So those are the short version of this. So COWS, cows. So that's how to use the wormers responsibly, because it's another thing, not just antibiotic usage, but wormer usage can create, you know, a lot of resistance. We can create worms that are resistant to treatment. And then, you know, next thing we'll have animals dying of worms. And then you got all things medicine related. You can go, you know, journals like a PubMed has loads of journals about veterinary and reviews about diseases and everything. Like I say, some things might be a bit more technical, but some things are just kind of reviews of some things throughout the years.
Thank you for joining another STEM Untapped podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, then subscribe for free on your podcast app. You can follow us on Instagram at STEM Untapped. If you know of a school or group of students who would like to interview female or non-binary role models, do get in touch. Likewise, if you know of anyone who would be a great role model, then let us know. Our details are all documented in the show notes.